From WWNO, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Each week, we talk exclusively with people in Louisiana who've spent their lives, as Louis Armstrong would say, in the cause of happiness. Music by the people here and of the people here is what makes us happy, and it inspires listeners everywhere to feel the same way. On Music Inside Out, we play all kinds of songs because the people we depend on for our listening pleasure embrace all musical traditions. Today, we're playing some of our own greatest hits. We'll hear from Irma Thomas, bassist Reggie Scanlon, multi-instrumentalist Don Vappy, and the great Alan Toussaint. And away we go, after the news. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Irma Thomas has been entertaining audiences longer than WWNO has been on the air. Over more than 50 years, she's taken us through the full range of human emotions. She can be sultry and sad, giddy and mad, funny, defiant, faithful, and sexy.
Men ask for songs that you would expect a woman to ask for.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Can you think of an example?
Yes, you could have my husband, but please don't mess him up, man.
You can have my husband, but please don't mess with my man. You can have my husband, but please don't mess with my man. Tell all you women, won't you all understand? Keeps me in stakes. Ain't that nice? You can have my husband. Please don't mess with my man. Then all you women, won't you all understand? Walk play your blues now.
And hip shaking mama. Yes. Yeah, I get more requests from men from that stuff, for those songs, than I do. Women.
Well, that's true. Maybe so. Maybe
well,
so.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the changing of times, honey.
Well, maybe men like a strong woman. That's
well,
what it
that's a great possibility. I hope that's the reasons behind it. You got to consider "Don't Mess with My Man" was recorded in late '59, and they released it early 1960. So that song's been around what 50 some years now. If that's what they want to hear, I don't have a problem with it. My show consists of, these are the requests. "Rule of My Heart," "It's Raining," "I Done Got Over," "Don't Mess With My Man," "You Can Have My Husband," that's "Don't Mess With My Man," and "Hip Shaking Mama."
That's
usually the set.
Well, I'm going up on the mountain to face the rising sun. If I find anything good, I'm gonna bring my good man some. 'Cause I'm a hip shaking mama, and I love Georgia Brown so slow. Anymore. It takes a rocking chair to rock, rubber ball to bounce, short fat daddy to satisfy the soul. 'Cause I'm a hip shaking mama, and I love Georgia Brown so slow. He keeps it hid, but I got something I can find it with. 'Cause I'm a hip shaking mama, and I love Georgia Brown so slow.
What
when I have tried to describe your voice or think about what is it, I always think, okay, well, Irma Thomas's voice sounds like really good hot cocoa going down.
Woo! I can relate to that.
Maybe with a little something
I'm
extra.
I'm a chocoholic. Yes, I can relate to that.
But yeah, there's something a little heavy to it, sweet, but there's a little bittersweetness to it as well.
Well, one of the guys who work with me every now and then, Chucky, he says I have a tritone voice, meaning you hear three sounds at once, and I never thought about it that way.
Maybe you have like a Buick voice, you know what I mean? Like heavy on the road, you know what I mean?
But, you know, I just do what I do the only way I know how. And, you know, over the years, what has developed out of it is what it is.
Yes. But, you know, like Gladys Knight, she's got a sort of a heavier voice. Yeah. And she said early in her...
We are considered, Gladys and myself, and there's some other ones out there, we're considered... not true altos, we're contraltos.
That's right, contralto voice. That's exactly it. And she said she had trouble early in her career because people wanted her to sing like Diana Ross.
Me too.
Really?
The same thing happened to me. I walked out of a recording session for that very reason.
Really?
Yes.
But that's...
If you want Diana Ross, then record Diana Ross.
Exactly. She's got a phone number.
Thank you. I bet they never told Diana Ross to sound like Gladys Knight or Irma Thomas.
It might have helped
Hello.
Her.
Hello.
Yeah. But that's just between you and me.
Well, between a whole bunch of folks now.
And WWNO, exactly.
That's right.
But the thing also is that, you know how, you know, like people said about Diana Washington, she had that teardrop in her voice.
Yeah.
There's like a note of loneliness in your voice. Hmm. You know, you convey loneliness better than I think most, if almost any singer that
I've
remember.
I'm an only child. That answers the question.
You think so? That's it? Is that it?
I'm an only child.
Oh.
And I learned early in life, if you want to get attention, do something. And singing was it.
Sitting home alone, thinking about my past, wondering how I made it, and how long it's gonna last. Success has come to lots of them, and failure's always there. Time waits for no one, and I wish someone would care.
We've heard these songs many times, mm-hmm. but people think they can sing them. Like, I think I can sing them. When I'm in my shower,
well,
yeah, I break out with Wish Somebody Would Care. Oh, sorry, Wish Someone Would Care.
That's okay if you want to see somebody.
But I don't sing like you sing. I mean, you have, there's something about your voice that is unmistakable.
Well, that's what most entertainers look forward to hearing from people, that they can distinguish you from out of the crowd.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, you hone your craft. It's not something that you do deliberate. It's something that's developed over time. But even in the young me, when I listen to me, I say, ooh, she sound young. And it's me, but, you know, I can hear the maturity over the years. I can hear the maturity happening. What you learn more how to express as you grow in maturity, okay? But in terms of my vocal ability, I've always had that. That's Irma sound.
Yes.
Everybody knew what that's Irma.
Straight talk from Irma Thomas. Expect nothing less. This is a special greatest hits edition of Music Inside Out on 89.9 FM WWNO. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Every day, WWNO and NPR team up to bring you intelligent, in-depth coverage of the most important stories of our lives here in Louisiana and around the world. As a longtime journalist in public radio, I can tell you from experience, news coverage of this quality is rare, expensive, and mostly paid for by your contributions. That's why your gift right now is so necessary. Please call 800-286-7002 or make a contribution safely and securely online at wwno.org. After the break, bar fights and a good night's rest. Reggie Scanlon shares his best advice on how to succeed in the music business. Stay tuned. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Each week, we ask our guests to teach us something about music or the music business. Reggie Scanlon is a heck of a teacher. Scanlon has shared a stage with some of the best musicians New Orleans has ever produced. James Booker, Professor Longhair, The Radiators, and now he's in a band of giants called the New Orleans Suspects. But in the 1970s, Reggie Scanlon spent some important years playing the Chitlin Circuit in Northern California.
I just wanted to play blues music. You know, that's really, I mean, that was my whole thing. I just wanted to play bass, you know. But in order to do that, you'd have to find yourself in these bizarro situations sometimes. And the drummer who I worked with was an older guy who kind of showed me the ropes, you know, like a guy comes in with a gun, I mean, just drop your bass and dive, you know, just,
that's
you
a good
know,
role.
And he, yeah. You know, people pull out knives, you know, you just keep, you know, it's just basic survival 101 type stuff.
When do you keep playing just in hopes that the situation will die down? And when do you, other than a gun, when do you know it's time to get off the bandstand?
Usually we would know when it was time to get off the bandstand when there'd be a complete rush on the dance floor of people going toward the back of the bandstand where the back door was. That was always a good signal that it was time to bail. If it was like some couple just having like a husband and wife fight with a pool cue and a bottle, you keep your eye on it, but you knew it was just going to be between them. And also you know that the owner of the club, who was usually 9 out of 10 times, a woman would just wade in and knock both of them out. And that would be the end of that, you know?
Let the system work. That's
yeah,
what
because,
you're saying.
Because they didn't like any of that stuff going on in their clubs because it just meant police coming. And it also meant more complications because I was a young white kid in there. And that was an issue sometimes. You know, when the cops would show, what's this guy doing here?
Okay.
Well, he's a musician, you know.
And so this was in Oakland or
yeah.
Or other areas?
Oakland, North Richmond, all through the Bay Area they had this whole little scene that, you know. I got to play with some great people on that scene, like Charles Brown I got to play with, Jimmy McCracklin.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that. The Bay Area seemed to be a place where a lot of blues guys, sidemen especially, ended up there. I mean, I was in heaven.
Times get tough. Things get rougher than rough. Let I make me a lot of money. Just keep throwing the stuff.
But it was a really good education in how to basically handle yourself if you're going to do this.
Well, you know, I have a dream for you, and that is I want you to write a Dear Abby column. Like, you would be Abby, okay? And people would write to you who are musicians, and they would ask you questions about how to stay together in a band, you know, because...
Oh, separate hotel rooms.
It's, it's a marriage. I mean, 33 years with the Radiators. How long have you been married?
My wife and I have been together 40 years.
40 years? I mean, you stick. I mean, there's something about you that people want to be around. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't like giving up. So.
But still, I mean, you know something that a lot of people who work in music would like to know about how to handle yourself in that situation.
Well, a lot of it, you know, like with the Radiators, I mean, for 33 years, I mean, everybody has to stay focused on what is the prime objective.
Okay.
And you also have to keep in mind that this is all fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun. You get on stage, it's fun, it's great. Everybody else, you know, there's not a lot of jobs where people will applaud when you show up for work.
Exactly.
The other 22 hours, you run in a business. And it's no different than running AT&T or running a supermarket or anything else.
Well, so how do you deal with conflict resolution? This is the secret of life.
You need to keep lines of communication open. Just like in any relationship, the difference is this is like being married to four people instead of one person. It almost doesn't matter if you agree with them or not agree with them. The real issue is how do we resolve this so that everybody is on the same page and ready to move in the same direction. As long as you can keep the kind of musical dialogue open, you can last as long as you want to.
Well, you know, the Radiators, I mean, you all have all said individually as well as a group, I mean, that much of your fan base began with Tulane Kids,
you know?
Uh-huh. You know, because in the beginning, I used to call, like, some of your songs, like, Sigma Nu Love or Kappa Kappa Gamma Love, you know?
Like, oh, I didn't know the titles. I didn't know the titles for a lot of them either for a while.
Yeah, I mean, there was one, I remember it was like a love, not really a love song, but a kind of a lust song, I guess. Uh-huh. And it was called Nail Your Heart to Mine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People love that song. I always thought that was a great title. It's like,
it's violent and loving at the same time.
Is a unique lyricist.
Ed Volker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I think he's an underappreciated songwriter in the whole genre of rock. So that was one of the things that really fueled the Radiators too, is because at that time, there weren't a lot of people writing songs or doing original music because it was all disco and it was all kind of new wave punk stuff.
Sure.
And the fact that we could work with a songwriter, like I said, made it really appealing. I think to a certain extent, he kind of expected us to bring something to the table.
Right.
You know, like, well, you're the bass player, so what's the bass line?
Scanlon with the Radiators, and the song is called Hardcore. This is a special broadcast of Music Inside Out. Contributions from listeners like you pay for most of WWNO's programming. Cultural shows like ours, the talk shows, classical music, jazz, and NPR news. Member support to the station is 8 times greater than government support. That's why your contribution right now is so important. Please call 800-286-7002 or donate safely and securely online at wwno.org. Just ahead, Don Vappy, Stan Laurel, Oliver Hardy, Bruce Springsteen, and Bob Dylan. Who's funnier? Stay with us. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins.
Look at me, look at me. Hey,
do you like what you see? Well, maybe you could spend a little time with me.
If you want to make talking on the radio sound easy, call Don Vappy. With or without his banjo, he's a guaranteed good time. Don Vappy is a master of traditional jazz, and he understands the healing power of a musical belly laugh.
Let's go paint the city. Come on, we'll paint it red, paint it red.
It can lift you out of your bad moods or bad feelings or depressions or whatever little rut you're in. And that's probably why I play music.
You know, you have a song on your CD called Banjo a la Creole, and there's a song on it that's called The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. And, you know, when I read that title, I thought, ooh, the world is waiting for the sunrise. That must mean that, you know, that things are going badly and, you know what I mean, and the world needs a shot in the arm, you know? But man, when I listened to the song, it actually sounded so zesty. It sounded like the world was so excited it couldn't wait to get up in the morning.
That's, you know, that's a great take on it. I like that. I first heard it in a Laurel and Hardy movie. they were in the Foreign Legion, and they were going to be shot in the morning.
There's a nice pickle we're in. Shot at sunrise.
I hope it's cloudy tomorrow. Say, Ollie.
What?
You still want to come back as a horse?
I don't care if I never come back.
Laurel starts playing on the springs of the cot they were sleeping on.
I'll play you another one now.
Shut up! Go to sleep!
You know, it's funny you mentioned Laurel and Hardy being the first time you heard that song. I think it might speak to another observation that I make, and I'm sure other people have made about traditional jazz, which is that more than most other forms of music, it is very comfortable with humor. You know, I mean, but Bob Dylan is many things, but he is not funny, you know. Like Bruce Springsteen, you know, puts on a fantastic concert and you can laugh, you can have a wonderful time. But inherently, you know, you listen to an album like Nebraska, not funny, okay? But traditional jazz is funny.
Yeah, it's joyful. It's a celebration. But you know what? I'd love to hear Bob Dylan play the Saints. I bet you that would be fun. When the Saints were marching in. Yeah, you know? That would be great. I'd love it.
Oh.
You know, I've found musicians have more than one side. It's just the side that happens to, you know, hit or get them in the door. That's the side that ends up being marketed or whatever, and that's the side everyone sees and remembers.
That's true. That's true because, you know, he does a polka, I tell you, and it is rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes round on special night?
Santa comes round on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
you have a CD that's a tribute to King Oliver and his orchestra, you know, and it's called In Search of King Oliver. You know, perfect name. Yeah. And you and the Creole Jazz Serenaders recorded a song that's called Froggy Moor, which is fantastic. It brings out the kid in all of us when we hear it, because there are certain rhythms in it that just remind you of some youngster or, you know, just screwing up his courage to go and do something, to make a big leap.
You know, that whole CD came about because of Oliver being, the 1923 band is the one that brought Armstrong up to Chicago and all. That song, though, Froggy Moor, man, it's probably related to a dance. You know, I couldn't tell you what it was. If my mother was here, she could tell you, because she was a dancer, boy. She's, in fact, if her knees weren't bad, she'd be dancing right now at 93. But that's exactly what that song is about, that gearing up to go thing, you know. And if further on into it, that doubles. Da, 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 dun, 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 dun. It just builds and bang, and we're going for it. It was such a creative time that it's timeless. Best moment on that whole CD for me is Clyde Kerr Jr. playing about eight measures in a song called Riverside Blues. He was playing an 1890 cornet. You know?
That is beautiful. And in fact, it's even more fun to watch your face as you are listening, because you are like in ecstasy.
Well, you know, it really speaks. Clyde Kerr Jr. was a fantastic musician, teacher. He taught Terrence
Blanchard?
Yeah, Wynton Marcellus, Nicholas Payton. He's the guy. They all went through Clyde. I got Clyde to do that record, and I remember him saying to me, because, you know, he plays more modern styles of playing. And Clyde said, man, this music ain't got no rest.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
And it doesn't.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, modern guys, you can go up there and say what you got to say, and then you can sit back and listen to somebody else talk. But this stuff was, there was no rest.
That's Don Vappy and the Creole Jazz Serenaders. You know, he's right. That music ain't got no rest. This is a special fundraising edition of Music Inside Out on 89.9 FM WWNO. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Every day, WWNO and NPR team up to bring you intelligent,
in-depth coverage of the stories you care about most, from the cultural riches of New Orleans to the latest from the campaign trail. At a time when other media organizations are cutting back, WWNO is building up its commitment to keeping you informed about what's going on in New Orleans, across the nation, and around the world. Membership contributions make it possible. That's why your gift right now is so important. Please call 800-286-7002 or donate safely and securely online at wwno.org. Thank you. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Alan Toussaint has had a hand in writing, arranging, and producing music that people all over the world listen to every day. He's been at it for half a century. But only in the past few years has Toussaint been touring with any regularity. And from what we learned at his house in New Orleans, Alan Toussaint is having fun.
Well, before Katrina, most of my life was spent in the studio waiting for the red light. And that's my comfort zone, and that's what I've been doing since I was a teenager. And I would I would perform only very sparingly, a couple of times a year. Katrina came along and was quite a booking agent. For one thing, it sent us all scattered here and there, and it was even martial law. We had to leave home. It's a New Orleans thing. It's a New Orleans. You leave town. Now we got our own kind of thing. It's a New Orleans thing. I was doing benefits and collaborations with folk. The aftermath of Katrina, which caused me to perform more than usual. So that sort of started this new surge of live performances. I found it quite rewarding, however, even though I was uncomfortable at first, because I just never felt like a front stage center person, for one thing. I'm a behind-the-scenes person very comfortably, so I like to prepare things, write the songs, arrange and prepare for artists who love to be front stage center. So I'm used to sending my wares out there rather than to take them out there.
Mother, mother, just look what they done to your son. Mother, mother, a song I wrote for Dr. John. I have felt the mark of 10,000 teeth. I done seen my body lying stiffly at my feet. As I see my soul creeping out of my chest, I bow my head towards the east, but victim by the west. Mother, mother, just look what they done to your son.
But Katrina changed that for a season, and I found it quite rewarding, because in the studio when we're performing and waiting for the red light, the ultimate aim is to get to people.
Yes.
To get to them and to get to their hearts. And when you're on stage and the audience is right there, that is the meat of the matter. That is what it's all about.
How aware are you of the audience as you're performing?
Well, I must say that I was so surprised. I found that there were many people who knew about my history and the things that I've done and written and arranged and produced. So I found that a bit comfortable.
He's a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame. This year he received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. He's produced, written, arranged, composed, played, and sang an entire world of New Orleans music.
I must say I didn't know what to do for them, because who am I up here? I'm not the guy who had this last hit record or that hit record or whatever. That's my thing. I'm the guy who wrote songs, who was made popular by so-and-so.
Would you mind if I made a request?
Yes, though I don't consider you an audience or a member thereof. But in a way, I guess we can say that.
I am a representative of the audience.
Okay.
You see, that's it.
Thank you.
But this is a request from your Bright Mississippi album, which was an album. This is one of your latest albums, I should say. And
yes,
in it, you take on Ellington. You take on Jelly Roll Morton and Louis Armstrong and Django Reinhardt, you know, who is also just delightful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a request, but I'm going to give you the choice because I have three
sure.
that I would be perfectly happy hearing. One would be Wine and Boy Blues. That is the Jelly Roll Morton tune. There's also Blue Drag by Django Reinhardt, or, of course, Ellington and Solitude.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yes.
The incomparable Alan Toussaint played especially for us. This has been a special edition of Music Inside Out. We hope you'll join us next week for something altogether different. WWNO makes our show possible because of contributions from listeners like you. The station's entire programming lineup, cultural programs, classical music, jazz, and NPR news depends on membership contributions. That's why your donation is so important. Please call 800-286-7002. I'm going to say it again, 800-286-7002. Or pledge online at wwno.org. Thanks.